Get to Old Navy Saturday for 50% off all sweatshirts, frost-free puffer vests for $15 for adults, $12 for kids, and leggings just $8 for women, $5 for girls. Saturday at Old Navy. Valid 10-5, select vests only. 50% off excludes in-store clearance, active and licensed.
This is a Federal News Network podcast.
With the budget ball in the president's court, Congress is taking a little time off, now that there's nothing to do. And for a look at what remains on the agenda, we check in with Bloomberg Government Editorial Director Lauren Duggan. So there's a 7-week continuing resolution and Congress is taking off. But my goodness, it seems like the middle of a lot of activity.
We are in the middle of a lot of activity. And we've talked before about this 2-week recess having been on the calendar all year, in part to accommodate some of the Jewish holidays that are coming up, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And also with a break like this, some members will be leaving the country on congressional delegations or CODELs, as they're known, and others will just be going back home and facing voters to hear what they think about some of the pressing issues in Washington. But the agenda still has a lot on it, not least of which is government funding. We have this 7-week reprieve under the CR that the House and the Senate passed before they left for their recess. But there's a lot of work left to do, including top-line numbers for all these bills that would make it easier to write them and get something onto the president's desk before November 21st, which, if you're looking at the calendar, is just 1 week before Thanksgiving. So a lot to do once they get back and before people break again for that holiday.
And before the weekend, though, the Senate was shipping over some bills. It was getting some across the line. So it was actually taking the action to begin what it will need to finish when they get back.
Right. And the Senate approach has been, let's get as many bills out of committee as possible as we can. So Senate appropriators have released and marked up 10 of the bills so far. There's the text of an 11th one that was floating around in a draft version when there was a floor vote to try to get a bill onto the floor. The Democrats didn't agree to allow that to move forward. But we've seen text to this point for 11 of the Senate bills, missing only the military construction bill. On the House side, remember, they have passed 10 of the 12 bills, but that was before the spending cap deal was reached in late July. So those bills will need to be tweaked to realize that new framework for spending bills for the next 2 years to make sure that the two numbers line up. The real difference is each of the allocations that the Senate and the House is working for on their bills is different, and you need to start lining those up and then figure out how much money you put in the bill and then what riders or other policy provisions you stick in there. So some effort will be made, I think, over the next coming weeks when they get back to try and look at those bills, line them up, and see what they can do, because they really do need to start either passing them through the floor or doing the off-the-floor negotiations to move that forward.
Yes, because those policy riders often touch on very sensitive issues among the voters and among politics and among the social wars going on in the country. It sounds a little bit desiccated to call it a policy rider, but it really can hang up things, some of them.
It can, and one of the things that was not in the spending deal itself but was agreed to around that spending deal in July was this handshake agreement not to put poison pills into these appropriations bills. Now, the definition of a poison pill is not the same for everyone, of course, and the extent of that agreement has yet to be seen, and I think that's one of the things that they're going to have to work out before they can reach any sort of final bill. Some of the ones that we think of automatically are things around abortion or the Mexico City policy when it comes to federal assistance for abortion and some gun language. But it remains to be seen exactly what's covered by that poison pill agreement. But appropriators have a long history of working together and coming to bipartisan consensus on legislation. So we'll just have to see how that pans out once they're back in town.
Because on the House side, there's also the obvious I word situation where I'm not sure how anyone is going into this without their mind made up already, even before they saw all of the testimony and the transcripts and so forth. But I guess it's a guess, but to what degree will that exert gravitational force on everything else they have to do?
That is a real question. And you saw the president say some things last week about how this will prevent legislation or everything's going to grind to a halt. Obviously, this will have an effect on his relationship with Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who that's a prime relationship that needs to work on some level if things are going to get done on spending or any other issue. But there are members of Congress who are still pushing to get things done, and that's Democrats and Republicans. The impeachment inquiry, one reason it moved forward is the so-called majority makers, the Democrats who won in some Republican-held seats or Trump seats that he won in 2016. They're the ones who gave Democrats the majority. They're the one whose support for opening up this inquiry kind of led Nancy Pelosi to do that. They're some of the very members who need some legislative accomplishments, want to show that they have come to Washington, gotten things done. They're going to be pushing their leadership to move on some of these big agenda items. Some of the big ones that they're going to be pressuring, drug pricing. That's been a big issue. There are different plans out in the two chambers, not yet a consensus, but you could see members pushing on that. And the USMCA, US-Mexico-Canada agreement, the replacement for the NAFTA trade deal. There's pressure from Republicans, Democrats, and the administration to keep moving forward on that, possibly have a vote this fall. And trade's one of those issues that doesn't always cut across party lines. There's a lot of people in both parties who aren't happy with NAFTA and would like to see this new deal go through. So I think we heard the phrase from several members last week, walk and chew gum. They want to impeach and legislate at the same time, or at least have this impeachment inquiry.
We're speaking with Bloomberg editorial director Lauren Duggan, and there are a lot of appointments still pending for the Senate to take care of when it gets back.
That's right. Right before leaving for the recess, they did confirm Eugene Scalia as Labor Secretary, also got the Vice Chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff through. But when they come back, there's more military nominations they need to deal with, and judicial nominations keep getting sent up to the Senate by the White House. That's been one of the biggest accomplishments, I think, for the Trump administration. And from a historic perspective, that will have long-lasting effects. All the judges that Donald Trump set up and the Senate has confirmed, that will continue at the circuit court level when there are openings in the district court as well. So the Senate will be spending more time on that in addition to doing some legislation.
And one of the big appointments that federal employees might be watching is the nominee for the general counsel at the Federal Labor Relations Authority, because there's a big logjam of unfair labor practices filed by federal employees against their agencies, and nothing can really happen until there's a general counsel there. That would be Julia Akins Clark, coming over from Health and Human Services, and then also FEMA, correct?
That's correct. The president last week nominated the current acting director of FEMA to be the full-time director. That's an agency that obviously has a lot to do during hurricane season and with the flooding we saw down in Texas with the rains. So that's an important one to get filled. The previous nominee pulled out before the confirmation could move forward. And on that FLRA nomination you mentioned, that's one that we could see move forward as well. It's just sometimes a matter of scheduling these things, clearing any obstacles, and getting the floor time to move those. So we can see that the Senate can process a lot of these pretty quickly, or if members want to really make a point and slow things down and use all the time allotted, those can move a lot slower. So we'll be watching to see what they can get done as they work around these appropriations bills once they get back.
Lauren Duggan is editorial director of Bloomberg Government. As always, thanks so much.
Thank you.
We'll post this interview at federalnewsnetwork.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to the Federal Drive at Apple Podcasts or Podcast One.
Get to Old Navy Saturday for 50% off all sweatshirts, frost-free puffer vests for $15 for adults, $12 for kids, and leggings just $8 for women, $5 for girls. Saturday at Old Navy. Valid 10/5 select vests only. 50% off excludes in-store clearance, active and licensed.